Thank you and good morning. Welcome to our program. You no doubt have seen or heard the expression, Jesus is the answer. You see it on bumper stickers. You see it on signs in front of church buildings. You may have seen it written on t-shirts. Jesus is the answer. Someone poking fun at the expression raised the question, if Jesus is the answer, then what is the question? Now, some may poke fun by asking this question, but for us who are serious about our life and our eternal destiny, this question is an important one. If Jesus is the answer, what is the question? Well, today on our program, I want to look at four different questions to which Jesus is the answer. The first question is, who is the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah? You see, in the Old Testament scriptures, there are many prophecies of a Messiah who was to come. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, Isaiah prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, who is this child, this son, upon whose shoulder the government will be, and who will be called, among other things, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Also in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7, Isaiah prophesied of one whom he calls a man of sorrows. He says that this one was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Well, who is this one that Isaiah is prophesying about? Well, Jesus is the answer. I challenge you to explain these passages apart from Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we read of a man from Ethiopia sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Philip, a preacher of the gospel, came to him and asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" Well, Philip joined him in the chariot and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. You see, Jesus is the one Isaiah was prophesying about, the one who was bruised for our iniquities, the one by whose stripes we are healed. Also, Jesus said to his apostles after his resurrection from the dead, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Luke 24, verse 44. Now, there are hundreds of prophecies of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament scriptures, and they were written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. But Jesus fulfills them all. Yes, Jesus is the answer to the question, who is the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah? And then question number two, who alone could die on our behalf and procure our salvation from sin? Well, another way we may ask this question is, whose death alone could satisfy the demands of justice so that we can go free? You know, mercy and justice are opposing desires. Mercy and justice can point in different directions. Let me illustrate. Here is a young man who has committed a crime, and he stands before a just judge. As the young man stands before the judge knows that he has committed the crime. The evidence is incriminating. But the judge also knows that this young man has a promising future. The judge is impressed with the young man's attitude and desires to show him mercy. But at the same time, the young man has committed a crime. Justice is crying out for him to be punished. They are victims of his crime. The desire for mercy and the desire for justice are conflicting. Well, isn't that what happened when man committed sin? Justice cried out for man's eternal banishment from God in hell. That is the wages of sin. Read Romans 6 and verse 23. But God is a God of love and mercy and grace. And so the question of the ages is there any way that God can show mercy to sinful man while still maintaining justice? Well, there is. But God knew in all his infallible sense of justice that it would require the death of his own Son. You see, Jesus is the answer. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Peter said concerning Jesus, "...who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Paul said, "...for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." And so Jesus, in His death on the cross, paid the price for our sins. Jesus giving His blood on the cross is a sufficient atonement by which God can extend mercy to man and still maintain His justice. Someone might be asking, well, how can this be? If the just due for sin is eternal banishment from God in hell, how can Jesus dying on the cross be the just payment for my sins? Well, I don't know how to explain it. We may not be able to fully comprehend how Jesus' death meets God's justice, but we surely can believe it and accept it because God said it. Yes, Jesus is the answer. But let's look at question number 3. Who provides strength to enable us to face the difficulties of life? I am sure that many to whom I am speaking this morning are suffering in one way or another. Some of you have health issues. Some of you live with disappointments with your children. Some of you have marriage problems and other family problems. Some of you have problems finding a job. Some have financial problems. Well, this is how life is. Problems are everywhere. You know, everything may be going along fine, but all of a sudden something happens and it turns our world upside down. And when it happens, you may be tempted to just throw up your hands and give up, thinking, where am I going to find the strength to endure this? Well, I want to remind you that we're not the first people in the world that has had to face such troubles. You know, Paul the Apostle knew what it meant to face troubles. He knew what persecution was. He was stoned in Lystra, left for dead, Acts 14 verses 19 to 20. In Philippi, he was beaten with rods with many stripes, thrown into the inner prison, and his feet were fastened in stocks, Acts 16, verses 22 to 24. He was imprisoned for several years in Caesarea and in Rome, read Acts chapters 24 through 28. And Paul knew what disappointments were. He was forsaken by brethren. He was forsaken by Demas, who loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he mentions that no one stood with him at his first defense. All forsook him. Do you think he felt some loneliness? Paul knew what it meant to be physically sick. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we learn that he had a thorn in the flesh. You read all this about the apostle and may wonder, how did he have the strength to face all these troubles? But we then read Paul's statement in Philippians 4 and verse 13 where he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Yes, Jesus is the answer. For those who have become His followers, there is help for any difficulty in life. Jesus knows how we feel, and He provides us with the strength we need to endure the problems of life. In Hebrews 4 verses 15 and 16 it says concerning Jesus, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Sometimes we sing the song, "Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard He loves you and that He will abide till the end?" Yes, Jesus is the answer. Well, question number 4. Who gives us hope of a resurrection from the dead and eternal life? Here's a man who is sick and he goes to the doctor. And the doctor runs several tests. And then the doctor informs the man that he has cancer. It has progressed too far and that there is nothing they can do for him. And so the man realizes that death is imminent. But he accepts it with courage, with strength, and with faith. He has a hope of something better beyond this life. He also is able to help his loved ones accept what is about to take place. You probably have seen that happen. The one who is dying provides the strength that helps the rest of the family. Well, how are they able to do that? Well, it is because of their faith in Jesus and the resurrection. Yes, Jesus is the answer. In John chapter 11, Jesus learns that his friend Lazarus was sick. After he learned that, it says that he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And we learn that Lazarus dies. He then comes to where Lazarus had lived, and when he comes, he finds that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus said to Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." But is Jesus truly the resurrection and the life? Well, as we read on in this passage, we read that Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and he says, "Take away the stone." Martha says, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." You see, the resurrection of Lazarus speaks clearly that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And also, his own resurrection from the dead speaks loudly that he is the resurrection and the life. In Acts 1 and verse 3, it says that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus appeared to his apostles more than once during this 40-day period. He ate with them, and they touched him. They knew it was Jesus. Jesus then ascended to heaven, Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. The apostles watched. Verse 10 says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up." I tell you, it would be hard for them to be mistaken. They saw him go up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What I'm saying is that we have credible witnesses. Jesus was raised from the dead, ascended, and he is at the right hand of the Father. And so how do we know that there is life after death? How can we have this hope so that we can face death with strength, courage, and hope? Well, Jesus is the answer. Dear friend, if we are ever to get to heaven, it will be through Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." But in order for us to have eternal life through Jesus, we must come to him in obedient faith. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus said in Matthew 16 verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We cannot expect Jesus to be the answer for us in the judgment unless we have denied ourselves and have followed him. Sometimes we sing the song, "Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be." If you would like to know more about salvation in Christ, then we would like to talk with you. Just give us a call. Call us at 573-265-8628. Or send us an email. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com.